Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shmiras HaLashon class learning. Let us begin. It is Erev Lag BaOmer. Okay, it is the 32nd day of Omer, and tomorrow, Be'ezras Hashem, tonight into tomorrow, we celebrate the transmission of Torah, the passage of Torah with the death of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He also transmitted the secrets of Torah to his Talmidim, so it's a very auspicious day to be learning and to be benefiting from the secrets of Torah. Maybe we aren't learning the secrets of Torah, but we're learning Torah. We are learning Lilui Nishmasel, Nezechu Nishmasel, Tzvi Gershon, Alav HaShalom, Ben Yoel V'chana. May his neshama have a continuous aliyah in the merit of this Torah learning, as well as Schos Refua, Bracha V'gaya, Bas Racha Gittel, Basoch Shar Cholei Yisrael, and all Cholim in Yisrael. Here we go. Let us learn with the Tefillah Al Hadibur. I mentioned it's on your Shmiras HaLashon class WhatsApp group. If you just click on that, you'll scroll back a couple messages and see it there. Yibam Sha'olam, Yiratzum Mefenecha, Al Racham Vechanan, Shatizikeni Hayam, Uvechayam, Lishmar Pi, Ulishani Milashan Haru Rechilis, Azar Miladabar, Fil Alish Yachid, Vakoshakin Akhayisar, Ola Chedek Mehem, Vakoshakin, with Yisraim Almidosev Shalkosh Baruchu, Azar Miladabar, Devay Shakar Chanufa, Machlokas Kas, Gaivo Nasvar, Albanas Panim Leit Sanus, Vachod Dibar Asar, Vizakeni Shal the Dabar, Kim Davar Hatzarich, Inyani Gufi Vinafshi, Viyu, Koma Asai, Vidiburai, Lashem Shamayim Amen. So you'll notice that I didn't post pages on the chat, and the reason there are no pages on the chat is because I know every 2 weeks seems funny to say we're continuing from last week's class, but we are continuing from last week's class. Last week's class was based on the mitzvah in Parshas Kedoshim of Lo Seileich Lachil Ba'amecha, and what I wanted to do was go into Maseches Erechin, where the Gemara discusses a number of inyanim and averos and ideas related to Shmiras HaLashon. We did not have time for that last time, so this is really a continuation of last class, so you do not need the Sefer pages today, because I want to see what Chazal, I want to learn with you today what Chazal have to say about the gravity of the sins of Lashon Hara. So I actually want to begin on Pirkei Avos. These weeks are the weeks that we are learning through Pirkei Avos, between Pesach and Shavuos, of course. We run Perek every Shabbos afternoon. So this past week was Perek Dalet. That's okay, Torah is timeless. I'm actually quoting from Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph. I know it wasn't last week, I know it's not this week, but there's no such thing as Torah Chas V'Shalom, of course, never expires. So the Mishnah tells us in Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, okay? I'm not going to read the whole mitzvah, okay? What is a straight path a person should choose? Okay, you should be careful with small mitzvahs and with big mitzvahs. And the Mishnah ends by saying, Histako, by the way, the Mishnah, of course, is worthy for learning the entire thing in depth, but for purposes of our class, and for lack of time, we're only focusing on the end of the Mishnah. Histako b'shlosha dvarim, Rabbi says, Histako b'shlosha dvarim, v'ein hata bali de'avira. Pay attention to three things, and you will not come to sin. What should you pay attention to? Da ma lamala mimcha, you should know what is above you. Ayin ro'ah v'ozen shama'as v'chom asecha b'sefer nechtavim. You should know what always what is above you. There's an eye that sees, there is an ear that hears, and all of your actions are being written in the book. So I had a sort of epiphany with this Mishnah, in the times that we are in today, specifically that I never considered before, which is this idea of so much learning is happening on Zoom. So I don't even mean by teleconference. In a way, I find even though you can't connect by seeing the person, I think teleconference is a little bit safer than Zoom. You can either hang up or disconnect from the call. Everybody knows how to use the phone well. When it comes to Zoom, sometimes people don't realize that they're not muted. Sometimes people don't realize that their camera is recording when really they think that the camera's not on. For example, my husband was on a Zoom share, and again, this is zero identifying details because everyone's on Zoom Shiurim these days. And there was a person, I'm not even saying the gender, who was zooming into the Shiur, who was actually in bed. Not in a position or a place, or it wasn't like Chas V'Shalom preachers or clothing, just in general, that really is appropriate for Zoom. And perhaps that person did not realize that their camera was filming them, maybe thinking that, you know, the camera was blocked. So I think specifically this mashal is much more poignant with Zoom, and it helps me at least understand this mishnah in a very visceral way. Let's say you don't realize you zoomed in to Hashir. I mean, you obviously realize you zoomed in, but you think you left the audio, or you think you're on mute, and you think your camera's covered, and lemaisa, your camera's not covered, and you're not on mute, and there's 300 people on the Zoom Shir, and everybody can see and hear what you are doing. And imagine if you're doing something inappropriate. Imagine if you're speaking Lashon Hara to somebody else, and the person you're, this isn't a joke, it could really happen. It's not so far-fetched to think that in today's day and age, when the world has been transferred practically to Zoom, that such a thing could happen. And you're speaking Lashon Hara to, you know, I don't know, someone else in the room with you, and that person you're speaking about is on the Zoom also, and everyone's quiet, and you think you've muted yourself, or you think you left the audio, and you haven't left the audio, and you're not muted. And this Mishnah, I mean, really imagine that. How would you feel after that? You would be having a heart attack if you're an Iban of a semi-normal person. So how will we feel in the next world? You should know that does the Zoom camera is always on. You think you blocked the camera, you think you muted the audio. There's no such thing. An eye that sees, ve'ozen show ma'as, an ear that hears. The audio is never muted vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam. The camera's never blocked. That's ayin roa, ozen show ma'as, v'chol ma'asecha b'sefer k'tavim. Not only that, but the recording is going on Zoom. And when you log out, you can't say, I didn't say, because it's going to be recorded. And I really think that, you know, we can learn from every tool that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us in this world. I think Zoom provides us with an insight as to what it means that when we get up to the Olam, it's a very frightening thought. When I think about it like this, it's a very frightening thought. When you get up to the Olam HaEmes, that's what's going to be played back. Rav Shem Shofar Hirsch on this Mishnah says, nothing makes it easier for us gladly, I'm quoting Rav Hirsch's commentary to Avos, nothing makes it easier for us gladly to do good and to avoid all evil than to keep before us at all times the three things mentioned in this Mishnah. The seeing eye, the hearing ear, which are directed upon us from on high, and the fact that all of our deeds are recorded. He uses that word in the book. I mean, I want you to really put yourself in that position, okay? You think your audio's off, you think your camera's off, you have something Lashon Hara to say, you get a phone call on the other end, you finish your Lashon Hara or whatever it is, and then you realize that really the Zoom was on the whole time. The knowledge, says Rav Hirsch, obviously he's not talking about Zoom in the 1800s in Germany, the knowledge that whatever we say and whatever we do is seen and heard by a supreme being who rules over us and over all else. And this should provide us with the most powerful incentive for being careful to avoid evil and joyously ready to do good. He says, quote, in all of our words and all of our actions. However, these attitudes of prudence and willingness are enhanced by the knowledge that whatever we do is recorded in the book. Never forget, we are told, the consequences and repercussions of everything you do. They reach far beyond the fleeting time span in which your act occurred. I'm going to read that again. Never forget, says Rav Hirsch, the consequences and repercussions of everything you do reach far beyond the fleeting time span in which your act occurs. You think, hey, it was 5 minutes. It reaches far beyond that fleeting time span. It's true, the time span is fleeting, but the Ribbono Shel Olam's record button is forever. God is mindful even of the least conspicuous of your actions. They will all be recorded to you, and your life will pass in review at the end of your days. And what is more, they will continue to be operative for good or for evil through all the days to come. This should be sufficient reason for you to do nothing of which you might be ashamed in the presence of God, and which you might be ashamed of your own self respect. So imagine the 299 people on Zoom and what they just heard you say, and what would you think of your own self respect if you're not afraid of the Ribbono Shel Olam? What do you now think of your reputation? It should be sufficient reason to be careful with all your deeds, to plant nothing but seeds of goodness into the soil of the future, yet unborn. So, you know, I've been saying to myself, Michal, you're being recorded. Michal, you're being recorded in a way that perhaps we have, or I at least, have never considered. I think that Zoom provides us with an important lesson in Avodas Hashem. Forget the shir you're zooming into. Just think about this reality of the fact that we are always being recorded. And even though it's a fleeting moment in time in this world, in the Baruch Sha'olam's world, it is never fleeting. I'm going to quote from Rabbitson Kanievsky. Biography. Thank you very much. I'm going to quote from Rabbitson Kanievsky's biography, and then we are going to go into Maseches Arachin. Okay, so here we go. When asked to share his memories about the Rabbitson, okay, Rav Chaim focused on her legendary savlanus towards people who came to see her. He remembers the Rebbetzin getting really upset two times. One, Bina was a girl with a conspicuous stuttering problem. She was speaking to the Rebbetzin. Another girl, by the way, Bina's in quotes, it's not her real name. Another girl, a visiting relative, was imitating Bina. Both of these stories that I'm bringing to you specifically relate to Shmiras HaLashon, which is why I chose these two stories. Okay? Another girl, a visiting relative, was imitating Bina in the presence of the Rebbetzin, and right in front of Bina herself. The Rebbetzin became very agitated. She motioned to her relative to stop right away. When she continued imitating the girl, the Rebbetzin cried out, "Stop embarrassing her!" She hugged Bina, she brought her into the bedroom, where she spent a long time talking to her. "Weeping," the Rebbetzin said, "it must be so hard to deal with people making fun of you when you stutter. I'm so sorry you were embarrassed in my home." She contacted various doctors to find out who would be best qualified to help Bina and work with her speech impediment. Unless we think that this is an exaggeration, I just want to tell you that one day last week, talking about Zoom, I did a Zoom talk for an elementary school. I'm not going to say which school, even though no one could guess who it was. Anyways, I did a Zoom shear for elementary school, and something that I speak about when it was actually better than live, and I'll tell you in a minute why. There were 125 participants, so minus myself and the two teachers, there were over 120 students on the Zoom call. It was for middle school, girls in the middle school. And it was even better than the presentation when I do it live, which I do. I speak to kids' schools about living with disabilities, accepting people with disabilities, being comfortable with our disabilities, what midos are necessary, etc. Right? And it really speaks to kids. Every venue that I've ever spoken in, every school, the kids react in such a attentive fashion, an interested fashion, a receptive fashion. The reason it was better over Zoom, talking about Zoom, is because they were able to anonymously chat with me and submit their questions and comments anonymously. So when I present in person, it doesn't really give them opportunity. I mean, I open the floor to questions, but it's hard for them to share personal feelings because they're in a group of their, you know, classmates or their middle school. But over Zoom, they were able to submit comments anonymously. So why am I telling you this? It was really, I was supposed to speak for 45 minutes. It ended up being 55, only stopped because they had to go to their next class. And this is only 5th through 8th graders. It was unbelievable how receptive they were. But one student submitted that this student has a sibling with Down syndrome. And one time they were on the playground and somebody was making fun of the sibling and said that they look like a fish. F-I-S-C-H, they look like a fish. And the student wrote, again, this was all anonymous. I'm not telling you what school it was. I'm not telling you the gender. I'm not telling you anything. Okay, if it was this community, a different community. And the student wrote, "It really hurt me. My sibling could not understand because of their limitations from Down syndrome, but I was so insulted on behalf of my sibling." And we have to think now, I know it was a kid who said it, but you know what? Grown-ups also say things that are inappropriate. So when I read you the story and someone was making fun, a relative of this visitor with a stutter, it's not unfortunately far-fetched. It does happen, and it's very, very painful. And with our words, as we're going to see in Masech, we can actually kill, not in a physical way, but in a proverbial way, of course. There was another occasion, going back to Rebbetzin Kanievsky, on which Rebbetzin really lost her composure. It was one summer morning, a group of secular Israeli girls came to daven Nate in the famed Letterman Shul and to speak to Rebbetzin Kanievsky after davening. One of the girls was dressed in a completely non-tzniistic fashion. Excuse me, she was walking the Rebbetzin home after davening. A bachur learning in one of the nearby yeshivas noticed the girl's inappropriate attire and began screaming at her and insulting her. "Shame on you," he yelled. "Go back to Tel Aviv where you belong," he heckled. "How dare you come dressed like that to Bnei Brak?" The startled Rebbetzin shouted at the boy, "Who are you to open your mouth? Have you no shame? You are malpim pnei chaveru birabim. You are insulting someone. Is that how you give tochacha?" "I will tell you something," the Rebbetzin said, "that I have never told any of the many, many people who have frequented my home. You are the only person not welcome to come visit. If you ever come to my house, I will tell you what I have never told anyone before. You must leave." Meanwhile, the Rebbetzin hugged and comforted the secular girl. She was so distraught by what happened, she went into the room where Rav Chaim was learning, and she began crying to her husband, "Is it possible that I did an avera which caused this bachar to act so shamefully in front of me?" After 5 minutes of weeping, she sat down on the bed, and she actually had to take anti-anxiety medication to calm down. For the rest of the day, she remained so upset that someone who had come to her for chizuk had been so insulted publicly. I think these two stories really illustrate how someone who is so sensitive to this concept of ayin roa, ozen shamas, v'chol ma'asecha b'secha neftavim, the idea that we are responsible for all of our actions. It's not a moment that is fleeting in time. It has far-reaching effects. You don't know how a secular girl could react and say, this is how Torah Jews behave, this is how Torah Jews speak, this is how Torah Jews embarrass somebody else, they're so intolerant. I have nothing to do with Torah, I have nothing to do with Yiddishkeit, and Rav Shamshon Falhirsch says that we think it might be just a fleeting moment in time, but that record, the Ribbono Shel Olam's Zoom, is always running, and there is no such thing as you are ever shut off. And you know, I'll tell you, it happened to me a couple of times when I was first using Zoom. In the beginning, I joined into something that I was invited to join. It was a big Rav, a very chashuv Rav, was answering halachic shayos, etc., hashkafic ideas. I was invited, and I didn't even know. I went into him, and I was not muted. The person who invited me to join quickly texted to myself and my husband saying, you know, Michal's not muted, and you're not muted until you see. You don't realize. Now, Baruch Hashem, I didn't say anything that I didn't want recorded, but it's something very serious for us all to keep in mind. You know, even if you don't care about the feelings of the other person, before we open our mouth to speak, consider, do I really want this to be recorded or not? So now I want to go through to Maseches Arachin, okay? So we've gone to Tefillah Dibur. Very practical application of considering what Zoom teaches us. We looked at the Mishnah, we spoke about Rebbetzin Kanievsky, Allah HaShalom, Tzadikas in our time. Now I want to go to Maseches Arachin. So the Gemara Maseches Arachin, I am on a Tes Vav Amud Beis, launches into a lengthy discussion about the sins of speech, the repercussions of speech, and what Chazal have to say to us about the severity of speech. Before it does, the footnote is very, very helpful. So Alyssa, I know we usually do a halacha day at the end. We are actually going to do more than a halacha day right now, because in Maseches Arachin, John 15b1 on the English side, Tesvav Ambebez, the Gemara, the art school notice, the Gemara turns to the topic of Lashon Hara. And then there's a footnote 8. Footnote 8 is halachic. We're going to go through this together. Here we go. The general term for improper speech is Lashon Hara. Okay, so where am I? If you have an art school, Arachin, I'm on 15b1, footnote 8. Because the art school note says, before we go to the Gemara's many teachings in regard to improper speech, a few words of introduction are in order. I think that these are very helpful and clarifying for us in our learning. Here we go. The general term for improper speech is Lashon Hara, which literally means evil tongue. Lashon, tongue, ra, hara, the evil one. In this broad sense, Lashon Hara refers to four destructive forms of communication. So Lashon Hara is an umbrella, and there are four spokes. One, Lashon Hara in its narrow sense, and the footnote here, art school, is going to define for us and explain each category. Lashon Hara in its narrow sense. B, rechilos. C, hotza'as shemra, and D, ona'as devarim. Okay, so there are actually four components to the sin of Lashon Hara. A, Lashon Hara in its narrow sense. B, rechilus. C, hotza'as shemra, and D, ona'as devarim. Here we go. Lashon Hara in its narrow sense. occurs when person A, again, this is all halachic, I'm not telling you anything on my own, occurs when person A relates true, so Lashon Hara must be true halachically, negative information to person B about person C. So Reuven says true negative information to Shimon about Levi. The information may be disparaging. For example, he is called hearted. In this case, the speaker has stooped to engage in lowly conduct prohibited by the Torah, sheerly by disparaging another person. He has debased himself before Hashem by debasing his children. So again, this really goes back to the Zoom analogy. You think you're saying negative about somebody else. You know what you just did to your own reputation? If you are the Mesaper Lashon Hara, person A, you're relating true. So that's why, you know, someone just posted it last week, the acronym for THINK. I give a different acronym. I have a share about it online. If you're anyone's interested, it's from a couple of years ago from the 5 Towns Community Conference. I can send it to you. But people say that the acronym for THINK begins with TRUE. Is it true? That's not a good way to determine if you should say something or should not say something. Because halachically, just because something is true does not mean it should be said. Okay, so person A relates true, this is Lashon Hara, negative information to person B about person C. Reuven says something to Shimon about Levi that is true. He is cold-hearted. It may be that Levi acts in a cold-hearted way. You're right, now you should tell me he's on the Kav's Chos, and I'm not talking about that. Maybe he acts in a cold-hearted way. It doesn't give you right to say it. In this case, the speaker is stooped to engage in lowly conduct prohibited by the Torah by disparaging another person. He has debased himself before the Ribbono Shel Olam, by debasing his children. Alternatively, the information may be damaging without being disparaging. For example, you might say he tries hard, but he is an unproductive worker. You think you're saying something nice, right? Oh, he tries hard, but he's an unproductive worker. You think you just complimented him. That is still considered Lashon Hara. In this case, one has committed a wrong between man and fellow man. That's an Avera Ben Adam Echavero. His Lashon Hara will be the cause of the subject's unemployment when word gets out and he will not be able to find a job. To be considered Lashon Hara, the negative information must be true. Well, I think this is a very important footnote. Again, our Erechin Art Scroll 15b1, footnote 8. It's very important because this is going to distinguish for us between Lashon Hara, Vechilas, Hotza, Shema, and Nazrim. So when we talk about Lashon Hara, it's not saying anything. It has to be true information. Okay, this is very halachic. It has to be true information that either disparages another person's personality or, without disparaging, it can be damaging. We gave two examples. One, he is cold-hearted, disparaging. Two, not disparaging, but long-term damage. He tries very hard, you know, you could say very nice person, but he's unproductive. Now he's going to try and get a job, and nobody will hire him. To be considered Lashon Hara, which is defined as evil tongue, the negative information must be true. Rechilos, category two. Rechilos, which was the topic of last week's shir, well, 2 weeks ago, lo selech rechil ba'amecha, means literally peddling. A rechil peddles gossip. We spoke about that last time. Instead of peddling perfume, he peddles gossip. He tells one person about negative comments made about him by another person. So rechilos is, for example, in the above case, person B goes back to person C. Shimon goes to Levi and informs him that person A, Reuven, said nasty things about him. So who is at fault here? Now, two have sinned. Person A, Reuven, sinned for speaking Lashon Hara about C, Levi, in the first place. But now, you know who else sinned? Person B, Shimon, because he goes to Levi and he says, you know what Reuven said about you? What sin is that? That's not Lashon Hara, that is Rechilos. A defining characteristic of Rechilos is that it creates animosity between people. So now it's not only your tongue which has sinned, but now you cause hatred. People will harbor resentment. Person B has told C, in our example, Shimon has told Levi, what A, Reuven, said. Now, how does C feel about A? How will Levi feel about Reuven? We could all imagine how Levi will feel about Reuven. So now what you have done is A, used your tongue for evil. Clearly, person B was mekabel, the Lashon Hara. In this case, actually, Lashon Hara. It was Mekabel. Shimon was Mekabel Reuven told him. So, A, he listened. I don't want to confuse you. One, he listened to the Lashon Hara. Two, he was Mekabel the Lashon Hara, even though it was true. Three, look at all the sins going on here. He spoke Rechilos by telling Levi what was reported to him. And D, he increases Sinas Chinam between people because now, C, Levi will harbor hatred towards A. Here we go. The Mishnah teaches, I'm continuing with the footnote, a Masachah Sanhedrin 29:8. When a rabbinical judge leaves the courtroom, we're talking about based in here, not a rabbinic judge, he is not allowed to say, ready? I found the defendant not liable, but what can I do? My colleagues on the base found him liable. I am outnumbered. So in Masechet Sanhedrin 29a, that is forbidden. About such a judge, the verse states, you're going to love this. I loved it when I was preparing for Shir because this takes us back to last class. From Mishlei, Perikid Al Pasuk Gimel, he is a Rechiel, one who reveals secrets. We spoke about that at length last time. Revealing the identity of the judges responsible for the verdict violates the prohibition against Rechilus. Why? It exposes those judges to the ill will of the losing party. Now the losing party is going to say, I know what this one said about me. I know how this one voted. I know how this one judged. And now you have ill will and hatred amongst people. Hotza'a Shemra. Next. So what do we say? Lashon Hara is true information. It is either disparaging about his personality or damaging without being disparaging. So just because you said something nice about the person, and it's true, that doesn't give you an excuse. Such as he tries hard, but he's an unproductive worker. Disparaging to his personality as he's cold-hearted. Lashon Hara must be true. It is said from person A to person B about person C. Rechilos is peddling. The Rachiel peddles gossip. In this case, person B goes to person C. Excuse me, Shimon goes to Levi and he says, do you know what Reuven said about you? A further ramification of Rechilus is besides for the sin of speech, the animosity, the ill will, the hatred, the machlokas that will now be between person A, who spoke the original Lashon Hara, and person C. We come to the third category called Hotza'as Shem Ra. Okay, Hotza'at Shem Ra, which would be Hotzas, giving out Shemra a bad name, literally. Here we go. What is this category? Defamation or slander? How does it differ from Lashon Hara? Lashon Hara must be true to be considered Lashon Hara. Hotzas Shemra is defamation or slander, negative information that is false. That's the difference between Lashon Hara and Hotzas Shemra. Hotzas Shemra is false. It is the relating of negative information that is false, such as a husband declares unjustly his wife committed adultery when she was an arusa. This is false. If she's an arusa, she can't commit halachic adultery. It is forbidden not only to speak Lashon Hara Rechilus or Tzah Shema, but even to accept it. So it is forbidden to speak Lashon Hara, information that is disparaging or damaging, that is true. Rechilus, Shimon saying to Levi, do you know Reuven said about you? Or Hotza'a Shema, which is defamation and slander, that is false. Final category, Ona'as Devarim. So these are the four destructive forms of communication that all fall under the general category of what we call Lashon Hara, but really they all have their own definitions. Finally, what is Ona'as Devarim? Verbal abuse or abuse through words. Very unfortunate ramification of the current matzav, 9.5 weeks going on to 10 weeks of lockdown. I saw both in Eretz Yisrael, I heard from a very reliable source, a gadol. I saw it in the secular news as well, that, that's not true, I don't remember where the place I saw it. It wasn't the secular news. I don't really look at the secular news very much. I heard from one of the leaders, the post-Gedar. I actually was privy to that person saying it. And I think I saw it somewhere else. I don't know, it was in Mishpacha, an article by Jonathan Rosenblum, that unfortunately domestic violence is up by 30%. The reason is that people who maybe sort of manage now are stuck home together all day. And when there's no Shalom Bayis, when the situation is not healthy, Rachmana Litzlan, it's a breeding ground, people being home 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 9.5 weeks on end. It's a breeding ground for Hashem Yirachim Aleinu, domestic violence. One of the imagined children who, God forbid, live in a home where they are not so loved by their parents, or there are issues between them and their parents, a terrible pachad followed that we may not have even considered. And this is where Onas Devarim comes into play. Never mind the situation, the child who reached out to me privately last week on Zoom and said, you know, her sibling was called a fish because they have Down syndrome, or the story that I read from Rabbi Tzakanievsky, which was clearly Onas Devarim, both of those situations, making fun of the girl with the stutter, and also mocking the girl publicly who is not dressed in a tzanua fashion. What is Onas Devarim? Going back to this category here by Art School of Footnote, Onas Devarim is causing pain with words. If one is speaking to someone and casually brings up an incident from his past about which the person is deeply ashamed, this is an example of causing pain with words. Of course, there's many ways to cause pain with words. If you bring up casually an incident from a person's past about which you know they are deeply ashamed, and the mention of this incident causes him great distress, you are guilty of Ona'as Devarim. The footnote directs us to Bava Metzia 58b, which I'll be honest, I did not look up. This is also included in the broad sense of Lashon Hara. In addition, final sentence, two sentences of this summary before we go into Maseches Arachin, which talks about Lashon Hara. In addition to these four forms of destructive communication, there are several other kinds of speech one must avoid. Among these are words of anger, ka'as, arrogance, gasus aruach, deceit, being dishonest or pulling the wool over somebody's eyes, lying, and false flattery, which are all things that we daven for in that tefillah al-adibur with which we begin class. So in addition to these four, it is also forbidden to engage in words of anger, arrogance, deceit, lie, false flattery. So quickly, once again, Lashon Hara must be true, said from person A to person B about person C. It may be disparaging, or it may not be disparaging, however, it may be damaging. Rechilus is peddling. Person B goes to C and says, do you know what A said about you? Hotza'a Shemra differs from Lashon Hara because Hotza'a Shemra is defamation or slander, but it is false information. And finally, Ona'as Devarim is causing pain with words. In addition, arrogance, words of anger, deceit, lying, and false flattery are all forbidden. So with that as our halachic definition of different categories of forbidden speech, I am going to go with you now, not with you, but unless you went in during this time to get a Maseches Arachin, which you're certainly welcome to do, I'm in art school, Arachin, in case you did go get one, 51b, well, if not, I'm going to read and translate and explain. Be'ezras Hashem. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra. Rabbi Yochanan said, in the name of Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, Ma'i dichtiv, what is the meaning of the pasuk? It's from a capital of Tehillim, Kuf Chaf, chapter 120, verse 3. What it means is, what can he give you? So the Gemara begins, launches into this whole discussion about sins of speech by quoting this pasuk from Tehillim, Kuf Chaf, pasuk Gimel. What can he give you? What can he add to you? Lashon Rimya, O deceitful tongue. Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, La Lashon. The Almighty One said to the tongue, God said to the tongue, "Kol eva rav sha'adam zikufim." All of a person's limbs are upright. So we say in the morning that Hashem is zokeif kifufim. He straightens or he uprights the bent. So the Kamar says, Hashem says to the tongue, all of a person's limbs are upright. The ata pmutal, but you lie supine. I don't know if it's supine or supine. I'm sorry. I think it's supine. In other words, when it is in a passive position, so everything else is upright, think of your body, think of your arms, think of your legs, think of how your limbs hang, and then think of the way in which your tongue lies. So you could say everything is vertical and my tongue is horizontal. The low ode continues Hashem to the tongue. Ela shei hi kafti lach shtei chomos. I have erected for you, I've encompassed you with two walls. Achashal etzem, one of bone, that means your teeth. The achashal basar, and one of flesh, that means your lips. So in other words, Hashem says, you are different than all the other limbs. They are all vertical, so to speak, and you are horizontal. Think of your tongue, it's in a different position. Everything else is upright, but you, the tongue, lay down. Furthermore, you're behind two walls, two gedarim. You have achashal etzem, the tongue is behind the teeth, and also achashal basar, one of flesh, the tongue is behind the lips. So if I close my mouth for a second, which means I'm going to have to stop talking for a minute, but everyone do that together with me, okay? While you're listening to the shir, I'm not going to be able to talk while I'm doing it, obviously, but close your mouth for a minute and think about the Gemara just taught. It's amazing. That tongue is locked by, I did it also, I'm not just telling you to do it, I did it, okay? That tongue is locked behind the teeth, and that tongue is locked behind the lips. Nevertheless, so Hashem says, what more do you want? What else can I give you? The Gemara is expanding. What else can I add for you? Hashem is saying, what else could I put for you to keep yourself quiet? And yet you are still a deceitful tongue? What else? Hashem is saying rhetorically, God says to the tongue, what else could I give you to remain quiet? How could you still be making noise? How could you still be chattering? All the four categories that we explained in depth. I gave you a different position. I gave you the teeth. I gave you the lips. You still can't keep your mouth closed. So, the Maharal asks, I'm quoting from footnote 13, this whole Amud here, Arachin, Tesva, Beis, with the footnotes are very, very insightful and helpful for our learning about Shmir Salashan. The Maharal asks, how are the safeguards that exist already meaningful? Lying prone and being encompassed by the teeth and lips, unfortunately, does not prevent the tongue from speaking, as we know well. The Maharal explains, these anatomical facts are indicative of a heightened spiritual nature. Listen, it's a beautiful pshat. The tongue is a precious entity. It deserves to rest upon the other limbs like a gem on a silk pillow. It deserves to be hidden away in the deepest recesses of the body. So again, when you think of your tongue, I'm going to close my mouth for a minute, so I'm going to have to stop talking just for a few seconds. So think of your tongue as a gem. It is lying on a silk pillow. Okay, you have the palate, you have the gums, you have whatever it's called under the tongue. I don't even know what that's called. It's hidden away under a double cover. When you think of the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Mishkan and the Aron Kodesh and the Luchos inside the Aron. So the Luchos were inside three boxes, gold, wood, gold. They were covered by a gold lid. On top of the gold lid was the Kruvim. There were three covers to the Mishkan. Not one, not two, but three covers to the Mishkan. First embroidered, then goat's ears, then Oros Tachashim and Oros Elim. The Kodesh HaKadoshim was behind the parochas, it was behind the partition. All that was hiding the most precious thing that existed in the Mishkan, and that was the Luchos and Moshe's Sefer Torah. So the Maharal says, our tongue deserves to be hidden away in the deepest recesses, in the innermost place, this exceptional spiritual nature. It's not meant to inhibit the tongue from speaking, but it should make us aware of how beautiful our tongue is, how Hashem protects it. It should inhibit us from speaking Lashon Hara. Despite all this, the tongue still manages to transgress. The Maharal cites the Midrash, Yalkut Shimoni and Devarim. This is analogous to a dog who is chained and confined in a pound, within a pound. Nevertheless, when it barks, everyone is still frightened. Can you imagine, says the Maharal, the effect it would have if it were to be freed and rove around freely? So think about that, you know, just take a few seconds and close your mouth and think about the position of the tongue, the safeguards of the tongue, the gem-like quality of the tongue, the kedusha of the tongue. And that's why Hashem created it in the fashion that he did. Nevertheless, we still manage to somehow not speak how we're supposed to speak. What can I give you more, Shal Hashem? What else can I add for you as a safeguard? How much more can I hide your tongue away and you're still deceitful? The Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra. Rabbi Yochanan says, in the name of Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, call HaMesaper Lashon Hara. Oh my gosh, you're not going to believe the next statement. Call HaMesaper Lashon Hara. Everyone who is a Mesaper Lashon Hara, Ki'ilu Kafar Be'ikar. It's as if he is denied the fundamental tenet of the existence of God. Kafar Be'ikar is someone who denies Ribbono Shel Olam, Chas V'Sham. So just to be careful, and by the way, Alyssa, I think if I'm not mistaken, we came across this teaching in our Sefer of the Chavetz Chaim, well, I don't know if it was a few years ago or a couple of months ago, but I remember reading the statement. I believe we read it together in the Kunches Chovas HaShmira. But here we see Kafar Be'ikar, someone who speaks Lashon Hara, say Chazal, Kilu Kafar Be'ikar. It's as if he denies the existence of God. However, the footnote actually quotes the Chafetz Chaim. Okay? The Chafetz Chaim, Zchuso Yagin Aleinu, understands this statement to be referring exclusively, so before you panic and think that because you spoke Lashon Hara yesterday, because the reality is that we're all fallible and we're all weak and we all make mistakes. It's like the Chafetz Chaim teaches us, we amass thousands of sins through Lashon Hara. Rachman al-Tzan in the course, I don't want to say thousands of sins in a day, oh my gosh, but for sure in a week and for sure in a month. But before you panic and think, am I really a kofar be'ikar? Don't I believe in Hashem? Don't I live a Torah life? Don't I try to have dveikus? So the Chavetz Chaim understands this statement to be referring exclusively to a ba'al Lashon Hara. In other words, someone who is a habitual speaker of constant Lashon Hara. Although someone who speaks Lashon Hara once has transgressed a negative commandment and several negative and positive commandments in that speech, this is not the same class as a heretic. A heretic is one who is a continuous, constant slanderer of other people. And by the way, here, when we talk about Lashon Hara, we don't mean, when we talk about a Baal Lashon Hara, we are including those four categories that we spoke about. When we use the umbrella term for Lashon Hara, so no one say, well, you know, it's only something true. Those were the halachic definitions of Lashon Hara, Rechila, Sotzah, Shkneim, Anonaz, Dvarim. But when we talk about a Baal Lashon Hara, we are talking about anyone who speaks one of the negative categories of speech. We are seeing that our time is up. Holy moly, we covered a lot of material, Baruch Hashem, but and a lot of important material. And don't forget how we began. The Zoom is always on. You think you muted yourself, you think you left the audio, you think your camera's covered. Your Baruch Hashem always sees what you're doing. Ayin Roa, Ozen Shamas, the camera's on. Ozen Shamas, you did not mute the audio. The Zoom is recording. Now, when you get up to the Olam HaEmes, it's going to be a frightening scene for Michal Horowitz. It's a very scary, 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 terrifying thought. But I will just tell you that since I had this Ha'ara last week, I keep telling myself during the course of the day, moments before I speak, I can't say every time, but I keep thinking to myself, Michal, you're being recorded. And you could say I shouldn't learn Pirkei Avos through the lens of Zoom, but I don't believe that's true. Because I think everything that Hashem gave us in this world can be used as a tool for negative, or a tool better for Avodas Hashem. And if I learn lessons in Avodas Hashem from Zoom, I'm not talking about what the shir you zoomed into. Forget that for a minute. I'm just talking about the idea that before I speak, it's being recorded. It's never going to be erased. Think carefully. Ki l'kofar b'ikar shenemar asher amru l'lishonenu nagbir. Sifasenu itanu mi adon lanu. Quote a pasuk from Tehillim, Perik Yud Beis, pasuk Hey, because the pasuk says, they say, because of our tongues, we will prevail. Lelishonenu nagbir, we will be giborim through our tongues. Sifasenu itanu, our lips are with us. Mi adon lanu, there is no one who is a master over us. I think we had a lot of food for thought today. I hope you had a lot of food for thought today. And Bezos Hashem, we will continue Maseches Arachim next time. Lots more to learn in this Gemara. Hashem should give us the Si'ata D'Shmaya, the clarity and the courage to remember we're being recorded and always use our tongues like the precious gem the way Hashem created. I wish you a wonderful day, Besuras Tovos. We thank the Axarod family very much. Tiskul Misvos Ulamayisim Tovim. We shall Besuras Tovos. Kol Tov, everyone. Thank you.